Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Flo Morrissey. Nice to meet you.
Is it? Well, we'll see. So I'm going to fill in some blanks in all sorts of weird order, and then we're going to try to put a puzzle together just for kicks. Let's see. Countryside in UK, lots of brothers, MySpace, Super 8 cameras, left school at 17 to do music. This is all the flotsam and jetsam that's out there and been told in many ways. I want to know a couple of things about you, about the music, and be about anything that are really, when people get there and they're listening to the songs, that it's going to give them something a little extra.
Someone just said that apparently there's a rumor on the internet I have a glass eye, so I don't.
Leaving school at 17 to do music, right? But you were doing music. Let's try to get some of the chronology in order. You were doing music because people be like, oh, well, then she's only been doing this for 3 years. But yeah, not the case by any stretch.
I could leave school was because I'd been putting stuff online kind of from the age of 14. So I'd started to, like, before I met my manager and my label, started to build kind of just by kind of from this natural place of posting things online and set, like, just being kind of a young girl and excited by sending it to people. And it was just from this very natural place. And I think I was lucky that, and from hard work, I then met the right people and started doing kind of, I did a show in Norway and Paris on my own before anything in London. And this was all before I met my manager or my label. So I think I wouldn't have been able to leave school if my parents wouldn't have let me, if I'd just been like sitting on my bottom all day, like right, doing nothing.
So how did it become Norway?
A promoter from a Norwegian festival contacted me directly and said that they'd pay for my flight and for me just to come play, and I did. So I went out.
He said, I'm there.
I was 17 and just, yeah, did it and then came back to London. So it was quite a, you know, I've always been for challenging myself and branching out on my own. So
now, is this officially the first US tour?
Yeah, this is the first US tour.
One of the things that I think relates to coming to the US, and now you're on tour, right, and you're with all these people. One of the quotes that I love that you've said multiple times is that you get on better with people in their 30s. But what do you think it is inside you that makes you feel like people who are a decade older than you? Maybe it's about that you don't consider yourself a pop artist per se?
Yeah, I don't know, because I think I don't just relate it to music. Like, I get on better with older people just in general.
So what they talk about, discussions, what they read.
I just think it's kind of, I guess, yeah, that would be the point, that you have more in depth. I just can feel I can relate. But I do have, having said that, I have obviously really close friends who are my age, and I don't want to, like,
one would hope.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's why I left school, and I've just always felt kind of older than my age, but without being like an, I don't like the expression old soul, but it's, I don't know, it's just something that I've never been able to understand, but I think I'm getting more into, like, understanding myself more and more.
Yeah, and if we read one more article about millennials, right? It's kind of like, you know, I mean, I forget, am I the baby boom generation? I forget what I am, and it doesn't really matter. But one of the things that you talk about London in particular, which was fascinating to me because I've been there, and I wouldn't think this from the outside, is that you've talked about, you know, say New York and LA and the arts community there, and you're saying that these are places in your perception that have much bigger, you know, arts community than London. That's kind of a very interesting statement. So tell me about that a little bit.
I think there's also a factor of, you kind of are always going to find somewhere else that's not your home more exciting. So I think, but also I think London, it's tricky, especially because I left school early, and I kind of, that didn't mean I met, you know, like-minded people who are my age doing music. It has been more of a thing where you just have, like, all those people that are in a community in England, like musicians, they probably went to music school together or did all this kind of thing. But it's, yeah, been harder in that sense. And I think when you go to, like, when I go to New York, when I go to LA, you have to come out of yourself a bit more and actually go out and find these people. So I think, and in London, I wouldn't be like, hey, I'm going to go find my group people because it's home, and that would just feel weird. So I don't know. I think I'm slowly starting to accumulate kind of and find these, like, really amazing people in all different places, and London too. So it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, and do you think New York and LA, it's because there's and they're well-told neighborhoods, Silver Lake and Echo Park, or all the parts of Brooklyn. There are enclaves. Is there not really that definitive an enclave in London?
I think there's a new thing, like for example, with King Cruel and like in South London, there's a new kind of a group of people coming together. But I'm not sure if I really fit so much into it. Although I am, I think they're all very talented, but it's kind of, I don't know.
Different scene.
It's a different scene. But I guess at the core of it, we're coming from the same place. But I think I like to kind of go out of myself and try and find things which are not as easy to find. So.
You were in Paris for a month, yeah. Right? But you didn't record the whole time. You also did a lot of touring and hanging out, but then also Los Angeles. So can you fill in for me? You recorded some in Paris?
Really all of it in LA.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. This time last year, I was in LA for 2.5 months and recorded it really nearly all the album with Noah Georgeson, and then did one song in Paris in January. It was very much just me and Noah in the studio, so all the decisions were made almost sometimes on the day that we did the song and together, so it was a very nice to be able to collaborate with someone. It was the first time I'd ever done that. So
the thing I know about Glassnote, was it the manager who connected you? Because there's always a great story of how someone gets on Glassnote, and it's not the normal story ever.
You're right. Basically, I was playing a show in London 2 years ago, and I'd barely done any shows really in London, so it was quite an off chance for me. And then Daniel was flying in from New York with his wife Deborah and son Liam, and he messaged my lawyer, because I didn't realize initially kind of lawyers are very important before you sign to even have a manager. So I have a really wonderful lawyer, and he. Daniel messaged him saying, oh, is there anything on tonight? Because they're friends. And he said, you could come see one of my artists, Flo Morrissey. She's playing in this church. And so he came, never had heard me. And then 2 weeks later, I signed with him.
So let's contextualize that. What you're really saying is, I mean, this record that you made, it's 100% you. The producer made it pretty. He knew what knobs to do, right? But particularly this album, this is your teenage years. Yeah. This is what your life has been till now. So if you're going to do that, you better make sure it's really you, right?
Exactly. No, I think it's sad nowadays that people, like the same thing with the managers. Like I know so many people that just sign up with the first person they meet, and you've just got to really listen to yourself, and that's what I've always done, even if it's sometimes been harder and I've kind of said no to things just because I know that it's just not right for me. So I don't know, I'm quite a strict critic.
So as you're going down all of this and people start trying to go down that genre road, right, and they're looking for the stomper on the record, and the stomper on the record's not going to be on the first record, but what are you going to say to them when they say, so what do you call your music?
I think a French musician said to me that he would describe my music in French. I think the word is détente, which means lace, mm-hmm. like it's lace. And I like that because it's
because it's weaved in and there's so many little intricate things that are going on.
It's intricate, fragile.
It's a little fragile, yeah.
Has it that underlying beauty. And I thought that was really, I loved that. So I can just be pretentious and say, oh, well, a French musician said.
My genre, you know, but you could have some fun and just say, you know what my genre is? My genre is lace.
Yeah.
Right? And then they'll be like, what?
Yeah.
You could pull their legs. Yeah, exactly. The other thing that you do really well, and it's not a big surprise, and they're my favorite songs, is they sound sad, but they're not about doomsday, right? They're just pretty, and pretty is allowed, right? You don't have to go kaboom and hit people over the head with messages, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's finding that balance, but I try not to think about it too much when I'm writing them.
But what happens, and again, back to, being an old soul, when you go on stage in clubs, when you go to festivals, and your music definitely requires a bit of attention, do you just say, you know what, this is just what I'm going to have to live with, or do you...
Yeah, I think I don't like it. I have empathy for being in, like, you know, this generation too. I don't want to be just like a kind of, oh, I want to be from the 70s kind of thing, because I think there's amazing things that we're given in this world now. So it's almost like a good thing sometimes on this tour when there has been, you know, the talking and the, and you're saying, like, you know, everyone on their phones and stuff. It's a test and a, I don't know, it makes me stronger and helps. Sometimes those kind of things can be more beneficial than if just everyone's quiet. But don't, yeah. I do want, it's obviously nice if everyone's listening, but it's nothing you can really do about it. So I've just got to take it on my shoulders.
Invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by anybody you want to play on the inside. And it's 40 minutes of nonstop, uninterrupted, solid music.